Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to find our text tonight. Two verses, verses 15 and 16. As we continue to learn about biblical response to cultural issues and the whole series of lessons we've been studying are about avoiding confusion, we want to look at issues of the day through a biblical lens, not a cultural lens. And culturally, what we're going to talk about tonight has become something that is seen as unessential, as not necessary, as by some, to some people it's even seen as a negative thing. And we want to understand from the Word of God that what we're going to talk about tonight is absolutely essential. It's necessary, and we want to be a faithful part of the Lord's church. If you're able, let's stand together. 1 Timothy 3, verses 15 and 16. And as Paul is writing to and admonishing Timothy, a young pastor, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you so much again for the time we have to gather, to sing your praises, to sing about the wonderful things that you've done and who you are. Lord, we pray that as we open your word tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts. We pray that you will guide us by your spirit into all truth, that you give us an understanding. And Lord, that we can take the truths that we learn and hide them in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Lord, that we can walk in your precepts and your truth and your statutes, Lord, that we can be a people who are faithfully following Jesus. Lord, we can't do it on our own, so we pray for not only the teaching of the Spirit, but the power of the Spirit to live day by day. And Lord, again, as always, we pray that anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that tonight would be the night they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in the finished work of Jesus with all their heart. Lord, simply that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on your name. Please help all of us to be faithful, to love you more, to serve you more faithfully. Help us to be real disciples, making disciples for your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Paul, writing to Timothy, has a lot to say to him in this epistle. But when he comes down to verse 15, he says, "Listen, I want to come see you, but if it's a while before I get there, I just want to encourage you that you learn how you ought to behave yourself, the way you ought to live your life in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And so he's telling him, giving him instructions on how to live, and he's saying, your life that you're living, I want to instruct you on how to live that life in the context of the church, the house of God, or as we'll see, the household, the family of God, which is the church of the living God. It is the pillar, the anchor point, and the ground of the truth. Now, most of you know the word church in your Bible comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia is a compound word, and it literally means a calling out. It's translated sometimes as an assembly. And so it is a called out assembly. It's an assembly that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about the essential nature of the local church. I mentioned a lot of people think that church isn't essential. And I think that's been very evident the last couple of years, but really you can't just look at COVID, but for several decades now, church has been on the decline in the United States of America in particular. And so the fastest growing religion in the United States is no religion. People who are completely unaffiliated with God, with the Bible, with any belief in God at all is the fastest growing. And a lot of people who used to be grounded and saw the importance of local church have begun to live as though it's not essential at all. And I want to tell you tonight, it absolutely is essential. If you were going to make a list of the essential elements of following Jesus Christ in your life today, you might say, well, my Bible is essential for me to follow Jesus. And I would say, yes, you have to have the Word of God to follow Jesus. You might say that prayer is essential for me to follow Jesus. And I would say that's right. You need to have a real, fervent, genuine prayer life to follow Jesus. But I want to tell you that I believe biblically you need to be a faithful part of the local church to have a walk with Jesus today. It's the design that he gave us. But a lot of people treat the local church as though it was something optional, something to be a part of, something to involve yourself in only when you have extra time. But the church is so significant that understanding its essential nature is a key component that we have to have if we're going to look at things with a biblical worldview. I want you to get this. The church, I said it's a called out assembly, but it's a called out assembly that belongs to Jesus. This church belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to a denomination. It certainly doesn't belong to a pastor. It doesn't even belong to all of us collectively as a congregation. This church belongs to Jesus. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church belongs to Jesus because we are a blood-bought band. We are bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him. This church and every other church that has ever existed belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus promised to build the church on himself as the chief cornerstone, and he promised its perpetuity. In other words, he promised that the church would persevere, that the church could move forward, marching against hell, and be victorious. Isn't that exciting? You all certainly look very victorious tonight. Listen, sometimes we don't look very victorious and we don't feel very victorious, but I'm sure thankful that we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that the church can march forward and be victorious. It's his promise. It's what he sold us. And so we need to live as though we believe the promises of Jesus. Thousands of years, the church has stood, the church has endured unimaginable persecution throughout history. There are churches in the world today that are suffering unimaginable persecution, and yet the churches endure today. I don't know if you saw it in the news a few weeks ago, but when Russia invaded Ukraine, there was a pastor who put out a message. I think it was on Twitter, but he put out a message, and he said, because people are concerned, what's the church going to do? What are true believers going to do when Russia comes? He said, we'll go underground. We've done it before. The church will endure. And what's amazing to me is it seems sometimes the greater the persecution on the church, the more the church thrives. Christians, disciples are being multiplied. Churches are being multiplied in China today by the tens of thousands, by the millions. Christians are existing in China today, even though it's one of the most oppressive countries in the world. And I'm just telling you that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will continue. It will continue because he said so. Now, we have a nation that was founded on the principles of religious freedom. I'm thankful. Somebody mentioned it in their prayer just a minute ago. We get to meet together openly. We don't have to hide. We're not underground tonight. We get to meet. We get to invite everybody. We get to live stream to the whole world. That we are here and we're worshiping Jesus and we're proclaiming the word of God. And we don't have to shrink back and hide to do that. I thank God for the privilege that we have, the blessing that we have. But people in the United States are beginning to turn away from God, and they're beginning to be less tolerant to the Word of God and the truth of God. Now, whether we live in a nation that guarantees religious freedom or not, we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will endure. Our English word for church, if you study the etymology of that word, not the entomology, because that's studying bugs, but the etymology is the study of the history of a word. And our word for church actually comes from the Greek word kurio, which means belonging to the Lord. The church is a entity that belongs to the Lord. Christians who say they love Jesus but don't love the church don't understand who Jesus is and what his word teaches us about the church. We can't say that we love him if we don't love one another. If we don't love one another, then the love of Christ is not in us. Anybody understand that? And one of the reasons, one of the basic baseline things, Jesus said, the world's going to know you're my disciples by your love one to another. Well, listen, if we love each other, we're going to want to spend time with each other. There ought to be a desire in your heart. And listen, I know some of you are tired, and I know a lot of Sunday mornings you wake up and you don't want to get out of bed, but there ought to be something. Number one, your love for Christ ought to motivate you to want to come and worship him. But I want to say that a big part of it ought to be, too, that you love each other. I want to come together with you. I want to gather with you to worship Jesus. I want to gather with you to bear one another's burdens. I want to gather with you that we can grow together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing, what a privilege that we get to do it together. We ought to have this desire. Church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word church is mentioned at least 117 times in the New Testament, and most of those times, the super majority of those times, it's talking about a specific church, a local, what we might call today a local New Testament church. When we study the book of Acts, we learn about the first church in Jerusalem and how they were empowered by the Spirit of God, and they went out and many churches were multiplied throughout the known world. They turned the world upside down with the preaching of the gospel. After Acts, you've got Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. These are all letters, or we might call them epistles, that are written to specific churches. So you got a history of the churches. You've got letters written to churches. Then you look at 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and these are letters that are written to church leaders. I'm just trying to tell you that the majority of your New Testament, you've got Jesus beginning his church in the Gospels, but then you've got the history of the church and letters to churches and church leaders through the rest of the New Testament. The vast majority of your New Testament of your Bible are all about church. Right. And it's important. It was important to Jesus. He bought it with his own blood. And it ought to be important to us. When we study the Word of God and we study the doctrines of the Word of God, you're going to find that God has linked his truth with his church. Remember what our text said? It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. The ground means it's anchored there. The pillar means that the church is designed to hold it up, to make the truth of God known in the world. And that's what the church is supposed to do. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, and I'll end with this before we go to our small groups tonight. Acts 2, 41 and 42 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And when these people were saved and baptized and added to the church, they continued together. You see it? They continued together. And that's the beautiful thing that we get to be a part of today. We get to be together, continuing together in the doctrine, continuing together in fellowship, continuing together in breaking of bread, continuing together in our prayers for one another and for the world. And it is a beautiful thing that we get to be a part of the body of Christ. And tonight and over the next week or two, we're going to learn more about this vital thing, this essential thing, which is the local church. If you're able, let's stand together.